Welcome to your GCSE Music Study Podcast. I'm your tutor today, and we're diving into one of the most exciting areas of the whole specification, Area of Study 2, Blues, Jazz, Swing, and Big Band. Whether you're listening on the bus, at your desk, or just before bed, this episode is going to give you everything you need to feel confident walking into that exam. So let's get started. First, a quick overview of what we're covering today. We'll look at the origins and key features of the blues, how jazz grew out of it, what made the swing era so special, and how big band music works. Then we'll hit the exam tips, go through some common mistakes, and finish with a quick-fire quiz. Grab a pen, you might want to jot a few things down. Right. Let's start at the very beginning. The blues emerged in the American Deep South in the late 19th and early 20th centuries. It grew out of African-American work songs, spirituals, and field hollers, music that expressed hardship, longing, and resilience. The word blues itself refers to that feeling of sadness or melancholy. Geographically, the Mississippi Delta region was the heartland. Think Robert Johnson, Son House, and Bessie Smith. Now, the most important structural feature you absolutely must know is the 12-bar blues. This is a chord progression, a repeating sequence of chords, that underpins the vast majority of blues music. Here's how it works. The progression uses three chords, the tonic, which we call chord 1, the subdominant, which is chord 4, and the dominant, which is chord 5. In the key of C, those would be C, F, and G. The sequence goes 4 bars on chord 1, 2 bars on chord 4, 2 bars back on chord 1, 1 bar on chord 5, 1 bar on chord 4, and then 2 final bars on chord 1, though that last bar is sometimes chord 5 to create a turnaround back to the beginning. The whole thing repeats over and over, giving the music its hypnotic, cyclical quality. Alongside this, you need to know about the blues scale. This is a 6-note scale that includes what we call blue notes, flattened thirds, fifths, and sevenths. These notes create that characteristic tension and expressiveness. When a blues guitarist bends a string or a vocalist slides between pitches, they're exploiting those blue notes. The effect is raw, emotional, and deeply expressive. Another key feature is the call and response pattern. This comes directly from African musical traditions and from the field holler tradition. One phrase, the call, is answered by another, the response. In vocal blues, you often hear a singer deliver a line, and then the guitar or harmonica answers back. This conversational quality is central to the blues aesthetic. Now, let's talk about the AAB lyric structure. In classic 12-bar blues, the lyrics follow a pattern where the first line is sung, then repeated, that's the double A part, and then a concluding line resolves it, that's the B. So you might hear, I woke up this morning feeling so blue. That's A. I woke up this morning feeling so blue. That's A again. Nothing but trouble, don't know what to do. And that's B. This structure maps directly onto the 12 bars of the chord progression. Instruments in early blues included the acoustic guitar, often played with a bottleneck slide, harmonica, piano, double bass, and vocals. The guitar was central, and guitarists developed distinctive picking and strumming techniques. By the time blues moved north to cities like Chicago in the 1940s, it became electrified. Louder, more urban, with electric guitars and a full rhythm section. Now, from the blues grew jazz. Jazz emerged in New Orleans around the turn of the 20th century, blending blues with ragtime, brass band music, and European harmonic traditions. New Orleans was a melting pot. African-American, Creole, and European influences all collided there. Early jazz was improvised, lively, and communal. The key instruments were the trumpet or cornet, clarinet, trombone. These formed the front line, plus a rhythm section of piano, banjo, or guitar, double bass or tuba, and drums. A defining feature of jazz is improvisation. Unlike classical music, where performers play exactly what's written, jazz musicians improvise. They make up melodies on the spot, based on the underlying chord sequence. This requires deep knowledge of harmony and scales, and it's what gives jazz its spontaneous, creative energy. Improvised solos are a hallmark of the style. Another crucial concept is syncopation. This means placing rhythmic accents on the offbeats, the ands between the main beats, rather than on the main beats themselves. Syncopation gives jazz its bouncy, unpredictable feel. When you tap your foot to jazz and feel that irresistible urge to move, syncopation is a big part of why. Swing rhythm is closely related. In jazz and swing music, pairs of eighth notes are not played evenly. Instead, the first note is held slightly longer and the second is shorter, creating a lilting, rolling feel. This is written as straight eighth notes, but performed with swing feel. It's sometimes described as a long-short pattern. Now, let's move into the swing era of the 1930s and 1940s. Swing was jazz made for dancing. It was popular, accessible, and enormously commercially successful. The big bands of this era, large ensembles of 15 to 25 musicians, dominated popular music. Think of names like Benny Goodman, Glenn Miller, Count Basie, and Duke Ellington. These were the pop stars of their day, filling ballrooms and dance halls across America and beyond. A big band is typically divided into sections. You have the brass section, trumpets and trombones. You have the woodwind or reed section, saxophones and clarinets. And you have the rhythm section, piano, guitar, double bass, and drums. Each section has its own role. The brass and reeds play written arrangements, these are called charts, and they trade phrases back and forth in a call and response pattern between sections. The rhythm section keeps the pulse and provides harmonic support. The arranger was crucial in big band music. Duke Ellington, for example, was not just a band leader and pianist, he was a brilliant composer and arranger who wrote specifically for the individual voices in his band. He knew exactly what each musician could do and wrote to their strengths. This is called writing idiomatically. Riffs are another key feature of swing and big band music. A riff is a short, repeated melodic or rhythmic phrase. The brass section might play a riff while a soloist improvises over the top, or the whole band might build to a climax through repeated, intensifying riffs. Count Basie's band was famous for its riff-based style. Now, let's talk about some key musicians you need to know. Louis Armstrong, trumpet virtuoso and vocalist, one of the most influential figures in jazz history. His improvisational genius and warm, gravelly voice defined early jazz. Duke Ellington, composer, pianist, and bandleader. His orchestra was one of the most sophisticated in the swing era, and pieces like Take the A-Train and It Don't Mean a Thing are essential listening. Benny Goodman, clarinetist known as the King of Swing. His 1938 Carnegie Hall concert is often cited as a landmark moment for jazz's mainstream acceptance. Bessie Smith, the Empress of the Blues, one of the greatest blues vocalists of all time, known for her powerful delivery and emotional depth. Robert Johnson, Delta Blues guitarist whose recordings from the 1930s remain enormously influential. Count Basie, pianist and bandleader whose Kansas City style emphasized riffs, blues-based harmonies, and a swinging rhythm section. Right, let's move into exam tips and common mistakes. This is where you can really pick up marks or lose them. First, use the correct terminology. Examiners award marks for subject-specific vocabulary. Don't say, the music goes up and down. Say, the melody uses a rising sequence, or the pitch ascends through an octave. Don't say, the rhythm is bouncy. Say, the rhythm is syncopated, or the piece uses swing rhythm. Every time you use a precise musical term correctly, you're demonstrating knowledge and understanding. Second, when you're asked to describe something, say what you hear. When you're asked to explain, say why it creates a particular effect. These are different command words, and they require different responses. Describe the rhythm. Tell me what the rhythm does. Explain how the rhythm creates excitement. Tell me what the rhythm does and why that creates excitement. Third, don't confuse blues and jazz. Blues is the foundation. It's characterized by the 12-bar structure, blue notes, and call and response. Jazz builds on blues but adds improvisation, complex harmonies, and a wider range of influences. Swing is a substyle of jazz that emphasizes a particular rhythmic feel and was associated with big bands and dancing. Fourth, know your set works. Your exam board will have specified particular pieces for you to study in depth. Make sure you know the key features of each one: the instrumentation, the structure, the texture, the use of rhythm and melody, and any notable techniques. You may be asked to identify features from a score extract or a recorded excerpt. Fifth, in listening questions, always listen to the whole excerpt before answering. Don't rush. Notice the texture. Is it thick or thin? Notice the dynamics. Is it loud or soft? Notice the rhythm. Is it syncopated? Notice the instrumentation. What instruments can you hear? Sixth, a very common mistake is writing about music in vague general terms. Examiners cannot award marks for it sounds jazzy or it has a nice rhythm. Be specific. Name the technique. Describe the effect. Link to the context. Now, quickfire recall quiz. I'll ask a question, pause, and then give you the answer. Ready? Question 1. How many bars are in a standard blues chord progression? The answer is 12. Question 2. What are the three chords used in the 12-bar blues? Chord 1, the tonic. Chord 4, the subdominant. Chord 5, the dominant. Question 3. What is a blue note? A flattened third, fifth, or seventh degree of the scale that creates expressive tension. Question 4. What does syncopation mean? Placing rhythmic accents on the offbeats rather than the main beats. Question 5. Name two key big band leaders from the swing era. Any two from Duke Ellington, Benny Goodman, Count Basie, Glenn Miller. Question 6. What is a riff? A short, repeated melodic or rhythmic phrase. Question 7. What is improvisation? Creating and performing music spontaneously without written notation. How did you do? If you got all 7, brilliant, you're in great shape. If you missed a few, go back and review those sections. Let's wrap up with a quick summary of the key points. Blues originated in the American South, rooted in African American musical traditions. The 12-bar blues uses chords 1, 4, and 5 in a repeating sequence. Blue notes, flattened thirds, fifths, and sevenths, give blues its characteristic sound. Jazz grew from blues, adding improvisation, syncopation, and complex harmonies. The swing era brought big bands, large ensembles divided into brass, reeds, and rhythm sections. Key figures include Louis Armstrong, Duke Ellington, Benny Goodman, Bessie Smith, and Count Basie. In the exam, use precise terminology, respond to command words carefully, and always link features to their musical effect. You've got this. Keep listening to the music. There's no substitute for actually hearing these styles. Put on some Duke Ellington, listen to a Bessie Smith recording, find a Benny Goodman live performance. The more you listen actively, the more natural this vocabulary will feel. Good luck with your studies, and I'll see you in the next episode. Take care.